Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Our modern culture has it all wrong in terms of who we honor and what we think is important. In this edition of By Your Life, we challenge our thinking about who is really important and where we really place our faith at work. Welcome to the 189th episode of By Your Life. Thank you for joining me. I'm Lisa Hudeman, and I know that you have 100 different things you could be doing right now. So I thank you for choosing By Your Life. If you haven't already, please subscribe via your favorite podcast app or on the right side of the page on our website at buyyourlife.com so I can send you notifications when each new episode is posted. And please forward to a friend you think would benefit from By Your Life. My goal is to inspire, empower, support, challenge, and encourage you to connect Sunday with Monday through Friday in a secular business world. It's my desire to help you live our Catholic faith in the marketplace and to trust that it's good for business. I hope to offer you practical ways to go forth and glorify the Lord by your life. In this edition, we'll reflect on the readings for the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. These readings reminded me that our modern culture has it all wrong in terms of who we honor and what we think is important. In the Gospel, Jesus warns us, "Beware of the scribes who like to go around in long robes and accept greetings in the marketplace, seats of honor in synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They devour the houses of widows and, as a pretext, recite lengthy prayers." We are the ones who create the problem that Jesus is warning us against. You see, the scribes could not accept greetings in the marketplaces if the people didn't revere them. They could not accept seats in places of honor if the people didn't honor them. Think about it. Today, we honor the famous, the rich, and the powerful. Just look at how we spend our money. Every weekend, people spend more than $100 for the cheapest ticket to an NFL game, and on average, pay more than four times that. And who are they going to watch? Well, if you're in Kansas City, it's the Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, who is paid $45 million a year. Even crazier than that is the value we place on stuff that the rich and famous have touched. Someone paid $560,000 for a signed pair of Nike Air Jordan 1s, and another paid $2.2 million for Ringo Starr's drum set. This line of thinking, honoring the rich, famous, and powerful, is prevalent throughout our culture. We even find it in the church. When our parish completed its capital campaign, to thank the donors, a wall was constructed in front of the new building to hold plaques with the names of all who contributed to the campaign. The bigger your donation, the bigger the plaque was that was engraved to honor you. Now, I'm not opposed to thanking donors for their contributions. It is absolutely the right thing to do. What I question is it the right thing to do to give greater thanks to those who have greater means to contribute more by honoring them with a larger plaque? Is it right that by default those of lesser means are honored less? In our gospel reading, Jesus answers this question. Amen, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury. For they have all contributed from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood. But I think the more important message in the gospel isn't about the size of her donation. It is about the widow herself. Most people didn't even notice the poor widow. If they did, they likely dismissed her as unimportant, but not Jesus. A while ago, I was working with a small manufacturing firm, and the CEO was lamenting how hard it was to find and keep good employees. This is a widespread problem that is even more prevalent today. This CEO shared a story about his interview with a candidate for the shipping department. Now, this candidate wasn't going to be a part of the shipping department. This company was so small that this one person was the shipping department. Evidently, this person did not rock the interview, but they hired him anyway. When I asked my client why they hired him, even though he was so unimpressed by the interview, he said, "It's only shipping." "Only shipping?" I said. "That's the most important job in the entire company. It doesn't matter what happens upstream in the manufacturing process if shipping screws things up and doesn't get the product to the right place on time." But the real issue with my client diminishing the importance of the shipping position was that the value he placed on the role was reflected in the value he placed on the person in the role. That was the bigger problem. Early in my career, when I held an insignificant position in our company, our president used to stop by my office from time to time just to chat. He'd ask me how things were going, what I thought about our project, and how I was doing personally. Our president could address you by name. He did this to everyone. Nothing shows that you value someone more than remembering their name. I'm one of the worst when it comes to remembering people's names. What's even worse is I've had people tell me that we've met or worked together, or even had coffee, and I don't remember them or the event. Now that is truly pathetic. What does this say about me and how I value other human persons? In his book, The Pope and the CEO, Andreas Widmer shares how Pope St. John Paul II, probably one of the most recognizable men on the planet, had a gift for recognizing and remembering you. Widmer served St. John Paul II as a Swiss guard for 2 years in the late 1980s. It was a role that allowed him to learn a great deal about his faith and God by observing how the Pope bore witness to the one he served. He said the Pope never looked at people in general. Rather, he looked at people in particular. What John Paul II saw was a person's innate human dignity. Widmer wrote, "You felt more important in John Paul II's presence than you did anywhere else, not because he was so important. You weren't basking in the glow of his papal majesty. It was because he saw how important you were and treated you that way. What he said and did mattered to us because we mattered to him." Last week's gospel, if you can remember that far back, was about the great commandment. To love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. There is no simpler and yet more difficult thing you can do to demonstrate love of neighbor than to remember their name. The second point that we might want to take away from Sunday's readings and apply to our work lives is the importance of faith. Faith, like love, is a theological virtue, which is a gift of grace from God, but it can also act as a response to God. In admirable acts of faith, both the woman in the first reading and the woman in the gospel gave their whole livelihood in response to God. In one of his YouTube videos, Bishop Barron talks about what faith is and what faith isn't. Faith is not irrational, and it is not superstition. Rather, faith supports reason. It is a surrender and a leap into that which is beyond reason. Faith is a trusting confidence in a God who cannot be controlled by reason. We can't survive in business without faith. Innovation would grind to a halt. Nothing new would ever happen. People would never take new jobs, start new companies, or develop new products. There is never a perfect plan, and we can never foresee all the obstacles. We never have all the information we need. Faith is that bridge from what we can reasonably know into the unknown. But too often, we place our faith in ourselves to carry out our plans instead of aligning our plans with faith to God's will. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says, "By faith, man freely commits his entire self to God. For this reason, the believer seeks to know and do God's will." How do we know God's will, and how do we trust Him enough to place our faith in Him? We must ask through prayer. Years ago, I was at a weekend retreat, and there was an image of the Divine Mercy in the room where we gathered. This was only a few years after St. Pope John Paul promoted the devotion to Divine Mercy, and I wasn't familiar with St. Faustina or the story of the image. All weekend, I kept staring at that portrait with the words, "Jesus, I trust in you," printed at the bottom. Finally, I asked myself, "Do I trust in you?" And my honest response was, "No, I trust myself, because I don't really know you." You can't trust someone you don't know. So I made a commitment to get to know him through sacred scripture and began reading the Gospels. I made a Lent commitment to do daily Mass, and I've continued these practices ever since. But it still took me many years to turn over the reins of my business to him. Although I'd turned over most of my life to him, for some reason, I felt the need to keep control over my work life. Spoiler alert, God doesn't want just part of our lives. He wants all of it. Perhaps you, like me, are afraid to let go of your business life and turn it over to God. Well, to quote Elijah, "Do not be afraid." If we believe that God created the heavens and the earth and all its intricate complexity that is beautifully and brightly ordered, why would we not be able to trust Him with our livelihood? So I leave you with one of my favorite challenges and blessings from St. Pope John Paul II. Do not be afraid. Open the doors to Christ. God works in the concrete and personal affairs of each one of us. Don't let the time that the Lord gives you run on as if everything is due to chance. With this expression of my hope, I send you all, from the depth of my heart, my blessing. St. Pope John Paul II. God does work in the concrete and personal affairs of our lives if we let Him. Do not be afraid to take a leap of faith in whatever you have going on at work in your life this week. And may God bless you abundantly this week, and may you glorify the Lord by your life. Remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast app or on the right side of the page on our website at byyourlife.com. And help us spread the word by forwarding to a friend, sharing on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Also, check out the resources page on our website, where you can find a link to books and other resources mentioned in this and other episodes of By Your Life. And I'm always interested in what you think, so give me some feedback or just leave a comment.
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni, or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.